If you have your Bibles, please open them now to James 1. My sermon this morning is a little different layout-wise than that you may have come to expect. So I won't be reading the text, so you may not have the opportunity to respond with your thanks to God for His Word. But I do hope that you may receive His grace nonetheless. This is how I want to begin. I want to begin by reminding us about the truth of our existence. And so allow me to place this truth of our existence in our hearts as we look at God's Word in James 1:16. It says, "Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Now listen now, of His own will He brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of His creations," or His creatures. So all goodness comes from God, from the Father of lights, and He has brought us forth, as we read there, from the word of truth, or by the word of truth. The Father of lights is the one who fathered the lights, who brought them into existence, into creation. He's also the one who radiates true light. And unlike the lights that twinkle in the night and the shadows cast by the sun, God, as the Father of lights, it says, has no variation, no movement, and Himself, who is seated above all suns and all stars, as the Father of lights, has no shadow. He who fathered the lights by His own will, it says, by His own power, by His own inclination, has also brought us forth. He births us forth, and He has given us life, it says. So, therefore, God is our Father. And if God is our Father, we have been reborn children of God. We need to ask what for, that we should live in His likeness. That was the whole purpose of creation, to make Adam in His likeness. And now God is recreating people in His likeness, to be rulers over His creation. He calls them first fruits of His creatures. The first of a new crop, so to speak, a new harvest, which God is... He's drawing in from this world a people, a new harvest from the people of this world. We as His first fruits are the best of God's spiritual harvest. We as first fruits have been also set aside for God and God alone. We as first fruits are the faithfully given to God. And so while God created the lights out of nothing, by His original spoken word, which no creature heard, here we see God bring forth recreated creatures by the word of truth, which we have heard in His last days, spoken to us by His Son. Thus, like the Father of lights, who can never be moved, we are also called to imitate His stability, His perfections, to remain steadfast, accepting His implanted word. This is our truth, beloved. This is our reality. And because of this, we live seeking the righteousness of God. We have His likeness. We are like the Father of lights. And so we are to let our light shine before others so they may see our good works and then give glory to the Father above. And so this is why we seek the word of truth. This is why we come to God for the truth in His word, not only for life, eternal life, but on how to live. And why? Because we are recreated people for God. But then what causes us to stumble? What causes us to sway, to swerve from His word, to succumb to our sensuality and to be seduced to sin? James told us, is it not our own sinful desires within us? The passions that tempt us to satisfy our own ways, he asks. Are they not what cause us to stumble? And what is giving into temptation to our own selves but self-deception? Hear now the word of our God in verse 19. Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Oh, how are we to avoid self-deception, that we could live hearing the word of truth and then seeking God's righteousness without anger? How shall we resist self-deception, that we could consider the passions of this world as rubbish when compared to the riches of God? Ask yourselves, how shall we defy deception, that we would humbly accept the implanted word to then guide our lives? And so as we look at James, is the answer not by being doers of the word we hear? I want that to be in your hearts before we begin. So let me pray now for the Lord to be with us in his word. Father, help us to see in your word glory and majesty. Father, what a joy it is to have salvation, and we never demean it or bring it or minimize it. But sometimes I think the emphasis is way too much on conversion. And yet you have saved us for good works, to seek righteousness. And when we don't do the things that you ask us to do, Lord, is that self-deception? And if it is, Lord, I pray that you, Spirit, help us to fight it, so we may not be self-deceived, and we will reap those blessings that come in the doing of your word. So we ask you, word. We ask you, the eternal Logos, to you, Jesus, that you would be pleased to grant us our petitions, and it be to your namesake we ask. Amen. In March, when the winner of the women's 500 meters freestyle swim stood upon the dais and raised her arms in victory to the praise of many in the stands, I couldn't believe my eyes. My senses were so jarred when the commentator remarked on how the woman had won when I didn't see a woman. When I heard the swimmer speak, my senses were thrown off, for I didn't hear a woman. I was being told, see the woman there? Can you hear her speak? And what I saw and heard didn't add up to that truth I was being told I was seeing and hearing. I was told this was a woman, but what I saw and what I heard, my senses told me was a man. And so transgender athlete Leah Thomas, born as a man, now identifying as a woman, stood a good 30 centimeters above the other women. This new age that we live in, the age of the LGBTQ plus movement, is forcing our senses, it's forcing or coercing our senses to accept something that is not, to reject what we see and hear and accept what is contrary to what we hear and see. And it's a form of the most sinister deception. Because in order for anyone to believe Leah Thomas is a woman, they must deceive themselves, to go against what they see and what they hear. We can only sympathize with Leah Thomas. One can only imagine, poor girl, boy. But one can only imagine Leah's internal conflict. What Leah sees and hears must be a loud argument in herself. And so, beloved, let us not conflate. Let us not bring together sympathy and compassion with our own self-deception. If we accept what is contrary to what we see and hear, we desensitize ourselves to the objective and apparent truth. And if we allow the world to take away truth, objective reality, that which is seen, observable, and visible truth, and if the world would have us accept their word that men can be women and women can be men, we must. Well, must not the church then begin? If we accept that, it must not the church then begin by deceiving itself, ourselves, in order to accept that which is opposite to what we see and what we hear? You know, this self-deception is not new. It's not novel. Satan has always been known as the father of lies as opposed to our heavenly father of lights. But do not be deceived, because self-deception is internal. It begins by what we see and what we hear. Once we allow deception to influence our lives, it will rule our lives. This very week, 7 rugby league players for the Sea Eagles refused to play wearing a football jersey with the LGBTQ plus movement flag across it. And then they held their ground, stating that the jersey, well, in fact, not just the jersey, but the movement, was against their religious beliefs. They would not allow themselves to be deceived, to believe something that is contrary to their religion. And they would certainly not allow deception to rule their lives. James warned the church that it was dangerously close to being self-deceived here in chapter 1. The church was allowing deception to rule their lives. They were allowing deception to guide the way they lived. And so again, the sinister aspect of deception is that it's a lie. Note this. The sinister deception that we read here is that it is a lie told by a person to themselves. An internal lying. To hear and then reject truth. To see God's law, believing it good for our lives, but then accepting the opposite of what is heard and seen, is to deceive oneself. James first warned against self-deception in that verse 16 that we read. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. James is warning the church of antiquity and the church of Providence today against an internal deception. He says, don't be deceived. Don't have this deception within, one that blames God or the devil for sin, or a self-deception justifying sin, believing God will want us to satisfy our sinful desires. Deception that says that God condones a lifestyle of pleasing pleasures to convince ourselves we can believe the promises of God and avoid living according to and live according to our own internal cravings. God says through James that is to be deceived. Because God only provides good and perfect gifts, says James. And then because there is no variation or change in the goodness of God, He is constant and He need not condone evil. But God does provide us everything that we need to live in godliness. It says the reason being is because we are His first fruits of His creation. God is doing this in you. God is doing this in us. James continued his exhortation with an argument in verse 19. It's sort of like the beginning of a new argument, but it's also a continuity. He says, you've got to know this. He says, know this in verse 19, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. So James tells the church that there is a certain type of hearing that isn't quick to receive because it isn't quick to hear, he says. It's a hearing that quickly moves to speaking, and this slow hearing, it's an empty hearing, quickly moves to opposing, to rebutting, talking back. And this reluctance to be quick to hear, slow to speak, quickly turns to anger. I want you to see how James qualifies this anger, lest you think it is a righteous one. In verse 20, he says, for the anger of man. So it's not an indignation like a godly anger, but a fleshly anger. This anger is not godly wrath. In fact, this anger of man, James explains, does not produce the righteousness of God. James is referring to the uncontrolled anger that is worked out when we are so set in our ways that we care not to be quick to hear what our lives may need for faith, to obey and live. Take heed of that. What is this anger? It is a reluctance not to hear what we need for faith. Not to accept the word, to obey and to live. However, this anger is not about the uncontrolled outburst of rage or violence. He's not really talking about the outburst of rage and violence, although it certainly entails it. It's about an internal resentment or an inner repulsion to any pressure that seeks to modify our beliefs inside. And then it works out in ungodly living. Here, this anger, put simply, is just a hatred of God's ways. It's a hatred of His righteousness. And since James refers to the anger of man, it's unholy. And since this anger does not produce the righteousness of God, it does not work out the righteousness of God, His virtue, His character, His good way, His plans for our lives, this anger, he says, is wrong. I'm not sure the last time I said anything was wrong behind the pulpit, so I'm going to emphasize it again now. This anger is wrong. It should be avoided. I am morally placing a weight upon it. It's negative. You ought not do this. And so then James paves a way of living. If I'm not to do that, then what am I to do? He says, do this. Verse 21, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. The put off part, put off that old self, and then take on the put on the new self, which is birthed by God through His word of truth. He says, receive it, accept it. Can you see, without the preacher getting in the way, what God's word is saying? We need to take it in. Receive, accept the implanted word. Open your ears to be quick to hear His truth. Be slow to rebut what you hear, slow to refute. Understand before you go to reject. Try before you deny. That's our family motto. Don't excuse your inner repulsion. A hatred that is of man only, an anger of the truth that you hear and see. And the reason is because this word, God's word of truth that has been implanted in you, is able, it's able, look at it, it's able to save your souls, verse 21. In other words, what kind of little statement can we allocate to this? The word is not against you, but for you. So can you see what it's all about? Preaching and this book, oh goodness, it's about our souls. It's about accepting truth, what we hear and see in the word of truth, and then living by it. James says in verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. It's about resisting self-deception. Please, beloved, don't believe the opposite of what you see and hear, is what James is saying. Don't do what is contrary to what you hear and see in the implanted word. Don't do the opposite. Again, how can we get this into a sentence that we hit home or that I can regurgitate and rehearse at home? If you can trust His implanted word to save your eternal soul, you can trust His word to guide your temporal life. To trust God for life after death, but not life before death, is self-deception. How often do we do that? I trust God for my life after death, but not too much of my life before death. God can be trusted with all of your existence, temporal or eternal. To God, it's the same. For He is the Father of lights who brought us forth. Last week, I said that there are two great impediments to living out the faith in Christ. I said the first one is a selective hearing that leads to anger, which then does not produce the works of God. And the second impediment to our faith or a life lived in faith with Christ, I said it's like a purposeful amnesia that leads to inaction. Today I want to examine that which lies underneath these two issues of anger that doesn't produce the righteousness of God and inactivity. Because I can see James seems to suggest he has an answer, and that answer, he says, is self-deception. That is the source of these impediments to faithful living. See how James joins hearing and seeing in this passage? He starts with hearing in verse 19, and then in verse 23, he connects them, he joins them together. Listen to what he says. In verse 23, he says, "If anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror." See the connection there? If you're a hearer, he's like a seer. The hearing, he's saying, is closely connected to seeing. And then he speaks about a parable of looking, of seeing in a mirror. Oh, it has these echoes of Jesus. Of Jesus, the great preacher, who he would call out to anyone who has ears to hear and eyes to see, let them hear and let them see. James says that there is an effect to an improper hearing, and he says it's anger, and that anger doesn't turn out the works of God. So the improper hearing doesn't work the righteousness of God. And that is because the hearing and the believing does what is opposed to what is heard. He's saying that's improper. Then James speaks about an improper seeing, a seeing that forgets what they actually see. You experience this a lot in the world now. Anyone know what I'm talking about, that swimmer? Did you see Leah? And then forget what you saw? You must have to actually say she's a woman. It's an improper seeing. A seeing that forgets what they actually see. It doesn't result in so much in inactivity, as in doing nothing, but not doing something about what is seen. However, since James is speaking about what doesn't produce the righteousness of God, what's going on here with this illustration about looking into a mirror, seeing into a mirror, forgetting what he's seeing? He's referring to the improper seeing as one that doesn't do what they have seen is the righteousness of God. In other words, they see God's ways. They say, I've heard that, Wally, and I see that, but forget that, I'm doing my own thing. That's the improper seeing that forgets, does their own thing. It's not that they're inactive, it's that they're action is not the activity of God's righteousness. Then after the illustration of the mirror in verse 25, James joins seeing and hearing together again to show it's about seeing and hearing that works in our doing. Verse 25, listen to how he joins them. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Do you see? Again, it's about looking and seeing. He's bringing them together. And so this modern age tells itself, I know who I am. I will make my own identity. I've heard the word of truth, but I can live however I want. I am the boss of my identity. James says that's deception. And it's deception for us, the church. No one can call God in Jesus Lord and not live as though Christ is Lord over their life. Did you hear that? You cannot call God in Jesus Lord and then not live as though Christ is Lord over your life. We cannot say, I see his word, but I will ignore what I see and do whatever I desire. James says, don't be deceived. We must be doers of the word, not merely hearers. Receiving the word is taking it all in. And so this is James' emphasis now. He says, don't con yourselves. Don't con yourselves. You can't hear and see what God wants you to know for salvation and then ignore or produce other works or just no longer see what he wants you to live by. And the reason it's a big deal in verse 21, he says, because accepting this implanted word is the means of salvation. It really matters. When you talk to people that haven't got Christ, talk to them like this gently in verse 21. To reject the implanted word is to forfeit salvation of our souls. How do you know if you have the accepted word? Well, James says there's evidence. Verse 22, be doers of the word and not hearers only. So if you're not doing, if you're just hearing, he says, you're deceiving yourselves. We accept the word when we do it. Otherwise, we're just conning ourselves. But it's not doing anything and claiming it for God. Just do anything and saying, that's for God. It's producing what God says is righteous. Otherwise, it is useless. Verse 26. If anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue. In other words, if you don't listen to verse 19, but deceives his heart. Again, deception. This person's religion is worthless. If we do not express the quick to hearing of God's word of truth, but we are quick to reject it, express resentment against it, whatever we say we do for God is just worthless, James says. See how James caps this passage by repeating to live without the rule of God by his implanted word is a deception of the heart. If anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart. So here we go for the rest of the sermon. I have five, God willing, helpful, Lord, let it be helpful, ways that we can avoid self-deception. As I was singing the second song, I wanted to change these five. He will hold me fast. And I was going to make some, funny quip about how I'm going to change it now. Until the Spirit, I believe, hit me and said, hold on a second. Isn't the deception yours? Do not deceive yourselves. You are deceiving yourselves. We need God to hold us fast as we work on avoiding self-deception. So how do we avoid it? Five elements. Let's see if we can go through three in verse 22 and then two in somewhere else. The crux of the passage, I believe, is verse 22. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Look at what we are to do. Very simply, we are to do the word. Simply what you hear and what you see in the word, we must do. Beloved, as harsh as this may come out and sound, this is not an option. You don't have an option. I sometimes hear us speak. I think maybe because we're We're Baptists and we believe in Baptist polity, but we are in a monarchy. We have a king, a God king. We don't have votes. He says, and we do, because he's good, everything he says is good for us. The king of God, the kingdom of God, has no democracy, but has the God king over us. And so we do what he says as children of God. But you got to ask, well then, how do I apply? If I'm in the kingdom of God, how do I know I'm a child of God in the kingdom of God? 1 John 5:1 says this: everyone who believes that Jesus Christ, that Jesus is the Christ, has been born of God. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. Did you hear that? I know you heard how you're born again, but did you hear the results? Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ has been born of God. Hallelujah. Amen. And everyone who loves the Father loves whoever has been born of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. How do we know if we are born of God, his children? When we believe that Jesus is the Christ. And what comes from doing the word of God? Obeying his commands. And what are his commands? Love those who love God. In other words, love each other. Love your neighbor. That's doing the word. And so do not deceive yourselves to believe God's word is too hard to follow or burdensome or nothing comes out of it. Beloved, from hearing and seeing and obeying the word comes salvation and love. Love from one another. How else do we resist self-deception? This is the second point. We resist self-deception by accepting we have the implanted word. They're so simple, I know. By accepting the implanted word, verse 21, that's where you find it. There is so much we can learn from this implanted word. Like if it's implanted, if it's inside, if it's been placed inside it, it's not natural to us. If implanted, it's therefore it's not from our inner self. Implanted word, stick with me. Wrestle as we go through God's word. So it's implanted, it's not natural to myself. And if it's implanted, it's not of my inner self. Thus, you know what comes from that? We dare not listen to the wisdom of this world, which encourages us to listen to our hearts. Listen to your hearts. Be true to thy own self. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately sick. Who can understand it? You know, when I say that, do you think your heart is deceitful above all things? Or do you go, yeah. The heart is a liar. Deceitful. How do we resist self-deception? We do not listen to our deceitful hearts, what's inside, right? Because we've got an implanted word. We don't listen to the heart because it's from the heart that our desires then lure and entice us, tempting us to indulge in sin. And we dare not be quick to listen to those outside who speak like our deceitful hearts. Listen to your heart. You know, they're enticing us with promises of pleasing our sinful passions. Those people of the world, the teachers of the world, and some in the church, they entice us to their own enslavement. Peter says in 2 Peter chapter 2 that many will try and corrupt those who are vulnerable. In verse 18, this is how he says it, that they, the corruptors, the people of the world, the people in the church, that are, he says that they, speaking loud boast of folly, they entice, listen how, they entice by sensual passions of the flesh. They promise them freedom. They promise us freedom, but they themselves are slaves of corruption. For whatever overcomes a person, he is enslaved to that. So James says that God's word isn't burdensome, actually. And from it comes blessing. Listen to how James describes the word of God as opposed to those corruptors that bring us to their enslavement. He says in verse 25, "But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, the law of freedom, and perseveres," like in it, "being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Don't be deceived by your heart's desires or by the enslaved teachers of the world promising you freedom as long as you give in to your passions." Yeah. If you think you're a woman, you're a woman. Think of a man and you're not a man, you're a man. I got a monkeypox. What's the world telling us how it's transmitted? Anyone can get it. True. True. Anyone can get it. But the large percentage, I think they're up to 98% of total cases, are with men-to-men sexual interactions, they may say. Just live however you want. But then they don't want to say, there's an article in the paper and it said they were interviewing a guy that had it. And he said, "I went to the doctor and I said, how can I stop this happening?" He said, "You know what, you may consider just stopping your sexual relations with men for a while." He was flabbergasted at such a suggestion. See, just continue in your passions. And they're enslaved to it. Don't be deceived by those teachers of the world promising freedom when they themselves are enslaved to their passions. The implanted word is our liberty. Receive it with meekness and humility. The third, how do we defy self-deception? Three, we learn the truth of the implanted word. James has mentioned that this implanted word that is able to save our souls, verse 21, is also the word of truth that rebirthed us. God used to recreate us, verse 18, of his own will. He brought us forth by the word of truth that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. The word of truth recreates and saves our souls, leading to God. And what is this truth? Jesus said in John 14, verse 6, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." To know truth is not merely an intellectual property, knowledge, but to know truth is to know a person. Jesus Christ went on to say, "If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." To hear and see Jesus Christ in his word of truth, as he is truth, is also to see God the Father. To know Jesus is the true path that leads to God. Do not be deceived. At the end of every point, by the way, I'm saying, do not be deceived in helping you out. Do not be deceived to think that you can make your own way to God, or that we can bend his truth, or that we can rewrite truth. There's only one way, one truth, and that is through God incarnate, the Lord Jesus Christ. To believe anything else is to deceive your hearts. So as we start putting these pieces together, we see that this implanted word we are to receive with meekness is the implanted word of truth, is also the word that liberates our souls to live for God. And then you hear Jesus say in John 8:31, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth." And what? "And the truth will set you free." Those hearers who abide in the implanted word, who receive it and live by it, are set free. His implanted word, beloved, listen to the logic as I'm flowing through this sermon, liberates the hearers who abide by it, while also identifying his true disciples. This is what the implanted word entails. It is the gospel. The truth that only Jesus Christ can free our souls from the enslavement to the sin of this world. Galatians 5:1 says, "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery." Can you hear that? You're saved. You're liberated from your passions. Now that you are here in God's kingdom and you are saved, resist, stand firm, do not submit again to the old yoke of slavery, which was enslaved to your own desires and passions and sins. Stand firm in Him. How do we stand firm? Well, we accept the implanted word of truth. Accepting. What is accepting? Colossians 3:16 says, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Have the word of Christ living inside you. With this word inside you, Paul goes on to say, and then, notice how the sequence, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, and then the next verse says, and whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through Him. See, our salvation is not to do whatever the heck you want to do. And it's not enslavement to a law. It is rebirth for God as His first fruits, liberation to then do and work for Him. Don't be deceived that any other word apart from the word of Christ can provide what is needed for life after death or life before death. To believe any other word to be true is to be self-deceived. So verse 22 then in James is a correction for the church. How do we avoid self-deception? Not be deceived. How do we avoid it? Fourth point, be doers of the word, not hearers only. I know you think I've already said that in verse 1, but my point number 1, because now I'm saying the doing is we seek to do righteous works. Ephesians 2:8 says this, "Listen to how you are saved. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus." See, we're created, we're recreated, reborn, the first fruits of God in Christ. What for? And then he says, "For good works, which God has prepared beforehand, that we should walk in them." Don't deceive yourselves. Don't allow your desires to lure or entice you to anything else. Salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone. It is a gift, not a result of works. But this gift of faith and grace results in works. It is the doing that faith is, well, it is in the doing that faith is completed. A doer who acts, verse 25 says, he is the one who is blessed. But what we do also matters. What the doing part also matters, which is, I'm leading now to point number 5. Look, we're coming to the end. What stops this blessing that God gives is worthless religion, which is also self-deception. I pray, and because I pray, God will listen. And because I read the Bible and partake of the Lord's Supper and attend church, but live however it pleases me, God will not listen. It's what happened in Isaiah. This is point 5 before I read it. It's what happened in Isaiah. This is what happened. Wrong worship and wrongdoing and expecting God's blessing is deception. Isaiah 58, listen to them. "Yet they seek me daily and delight to know my ways, as if they were a nation that did righteousness and did not forsake the judgment of God. They ask of me righteous judgments. They delight to draw near to God. They speak thus, 'Why have we fasted and you see it not? Why have we humbled ourselves and you take no knowledge of it? Behold, in the day of your fast, you seek your own pleasure and oppress your workers. Behold, you fast only to quarrel and to fight and to hit with a wicked fist. Fasting like yours, the worship like yours, this day will not make your voice to be heard on high.'" Don't be deceived. God accepts only what His Word demands we do. Not only matters that we see and hear truth, but that we do His truth only and do it for our hope and joy in His glory. To worship God, to satisfy ourselves, His truth is self-deception. So to worship God in the satisfaction of ourselves in doing it, even in doing that, is self-deception. How shall we avoid, resist, defy self-deception? We do the Word. We accept the implanted Word. We learn the truth of the implanted Word. We seek to do righteous works, and we put aside worthless religion. He's brought us forth as His first fruits. Let us follow Him. If we practice the deception of the world, if we tag along with the world that tells us to hear and see, and what we see and hear is the opposite of what we see and hear, what makes us think that we're not going to bring that deceptive practice into the church? Think about it. We're constantly being told by the world to desensitize our what we see and what we hear, and then to deceive ourselves in the world. What makes you think you're not going to bring it to the church? So we must remember what's inside the church. And what dwells in our hearts is the implanted Word. The implanted Word, James says, is the Word of truth. In verse 21, we read that it's this Word that is able to save your souls. And we as a church have come to know that the Word of God was one day made flesh and dwelt among us as Jesus Christ. We know that Jesus, in John 1:5, was also the one, 1:4, was also the one who brought life to life and light for men. Jesus Christ comes as life to shine into our darkened hearts. John then went to proclaim that in John 1:11, He came to His own people, and His own people did not receive the Word. And so this is what James is calling the church to accept today, to humbly with meekness receive the implanted Word. He says, receive it for your salvation, for your souls, but also on how to live. I believe that the way that God guards us in faith and preserves us to the end is by the doing of His Word. I don't hear me saying how you become saved is through works. No, I'm saying in salvation, in Him. It is the means of preservation. The means of preservation is in the doing of His Word, the practicing of our faith going out. So hence, don't deceive yourselves. The implanted Word is also a living, a giving ourselves as the first fruits of God. And the reason being is that everybody that has come to God in salvation are no longer human or merely human. They are sons of God. So it's not something that we do on our belief or by our own inclination or by our own will, but our new lives are by the will of the Father through the Son by the Spirit. John 1:13 says that the children of God are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Can you hear that? It's not a rebirth of life, of blood, that which we need to live, but a spiritual rebirth. It is all in the receiving of the Word, Jesus Christ, through the implanted Word, His good news that God by His Spirit brought us forth to be the first fruits of His creatures. He's brought us to eternal life, to a condemned lives, from a condemned life to eternal life in Him. What's the point? Listen now. Do not be deceived. Don't be deceived, beloved. You may hear and believe, but hearing without a doing of our faith is worthless. So let not only hearers, let us not only be hearers, but doers, that we may not be deceived unto death, but that we may receive unto the salvation of our souls. Let me pray. Father, thank You for Your Word. Help us not to be deceived as we do all that you command in the implanted, truthful word we have in our lives, returning all to your glory. For your name's sake, I pray. Amen.